Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia.
Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. So glad that you're joining us today. Hope that you'll enjoy the broadcast today. And Monday's broadcast is always the day that we recap what happened at Hickory Ridge Community Church over the weekend. And I want to invite you to come and worship with us. We've been doing drive-in church on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. We'd love to have you come on and join us at 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South in Chesapeake, Virginia. Hickory Ridge Community Church would welcome you. You just pull on into the parking lot and the guys will tell you where to park. Just stay in your vehicle and you can listen to the service right there in the parking lot. We've had a great time doing this over the last five Sundays. And amazingly, the weather has cooperated every week. And so we're so thankful for that. Well, today I want to talk to you about the power of the tongue. Every one of us have been blessed with one tongue and two ears, and so I think that we ought to listen twice as much as we speak, and that's awful difficult for some of us, and many times our tongue gets going so fast that our brain can't keep up. And I heard a funny little story about a teenager who is first day on his new job at a supermarket, and he didn't really know exactly what to do, but he was doing the best he could, and as he's there working at that supermarket, a lady came up to him and said, I'd like to buy a half a head of lettuce. Is that possible? Well, this young teenager didn't know exactly how to respond to that and kept trying to dissuade the lady from buying a half a head. So why don't you just go ahead and buy the whole head of lettuce? And she says, well, I don't want a half a head of lettuce, and I don't need a whole head. Can you sell me a half a head? He says, well, I'm not sure what I need to do with this. And so he decided to go talk to his store manager, and he turned around and headed toward the back. Unbeknownst to him, that lady was following him all the way back, and he got into the back, and he saw the store manager, and he says, there's some stupid old bag out there who wants to buy a half a head of lettuce. What should I tell her? Seeing the horrified look on the manager's face, he turned about, and seeing the woman, he added, and this nice young lady here wants to buy the other half of the lettuce head. Will it be all right? Considerably relieved, the manager said, well, that would be fine. Well, later on in the day, he congratulated the boy on his quick thinking, and he then asked, well, where are you from? The boy says, I'm from Toronto, Canada, home of the beautiful hockey players and ugly women. The manager looked at him and says, you know, my wife is from Toronto. Well, that boy, not missing a beat, says, oh, well, what team did she play for? So these are funny little stories, and maybe you've had a situation where you got your tongue in action before your brain checked in. I remember many years ago, we had a member of our church, and we had all gathered at a local restaurant. And as he was coming into the restaurant, there was a car out there that had duct tape all over it. It was an old pickup truck that was rusty and falling apart, and it was held together literally by duct tape. And we got talking about that and kind of, you know, joking around about that. Well, unbeknownst to us, the guy sitting right next to us was the owner of that pickup truck. And so you got to be careful what you say, when you say it, and how you say it. So today's message, we're going to be looking at the power of the tongue. I'm going to be using over 40 verses of scripture today, so I hope that you listen well. And I know you may be driving down the road as you're listening to the broadcast today. And so I'm going to give you a whole lot of things that I think will help you in being effective in how you speak. And, you know, the power of the tongue is such a powerful thing. James chapter 3 says this, look at ships. They are so large and they're driven by strong winds, but they're guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also is the tongue. It's a small member, yet it boasts great things. So here we see that ships are big, rudders are small. One of the biggest ships in the world is the U.S. aircraft carrier USS Eisenhower. It weighs over 91,000 tons. It's nearly 1,100 feet in length. It has a nuclear-powered engine of 280,000 horsepower, and it can easily accommodate a crew of 6,100 men and women. It can carry nearly 100 aircraft. This ship is vast. It's like a floating city. And yet, with all of that weight, personnel, hardware, and all the effects of that ship, it is steered by a very small rudder. As a matter of fact, the rudder is 0.1% of the ship's size. Something so comparatively small is able to maneuver something so large. Well, that's how it is with our tongues. They're small, but they are awful powerful. What's the meanest thing that anybody has ever said to you? You probably remember something that somebody said to you that was very mean. Those words have been said maybe once, but they stay with us for the rest of our lives. James goes on to say in James chapter 3, verse 5, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. He says the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and is set on fire by hell. Now here he compares our tongue to a fire that can be set on the whole course of one's life, setting one's whole life on fire. Our words are like the cigarette that the 46-year-old woman in South Dakota threw out into the forest. That cigarette started a fire that burned for 2 weeks. That burned 80,000 acres of forest. You see, the tongue can create rumors and half-truths, and the tongue can be used to grumble and make sarcastic remarks and hurtful things. And in the heat of anger, our tongue can do a whole lot of damage to those who are listening to us. So I ask you, what's the meanest thing that somebody has ever said to you? You probably remember what that is. Well, what's the nicest thing that somebody has ever said to you? As we look at several passages today, we want to talk about the power of the tongue. Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is one whose rash words are like a sword that is thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Levi Lasko said this about Christians, and he says, "I think Christians kind of fall into two categories, and I don't know if you agree with this or not. I think there's some truth to what he's saying." He's basically saying that Christians are either those who are really speaking up about their faith and they accomplish great and significant things for God, or the other brand of Christians are those who criticize and malign the first group. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that second group. I want to be one that will use my tongue to encourage other people. Did you know when you use your tongue, it takes a lot of coordination? There are 72 different muscles that produce speech. Every day, we speak a lot of words, between 7,000 and 16,000 words. It doesn't matter if you're an introvert, you might be on that 7,000 side, or you're an extrovert that talks a lot at that 16,000 side. Maybe that number might even be a little bit low for some of us. But if you are speaking 16,000 words a day, and you live an average lifespan, in the course of your life, you will have spoken a whopping 860 million words. Now, that's a lot of talking. Can you imagine how rich you would be if you could get a dollar for every word that you spoke throughout your life? It's too bad we don't get paid that way, but we do speak a lot of words. Now, here's the problem. We have this tongue, and the Bible tells us that we cannot tame that tongue. So I have a solution, a biblical solution that will help you as you navigate the use of your tongue, realizing that the tongue is extremely powerful. So when it comes to speaking, I say speak later so that you'll speak greater. Whenever I'm asked to speak somewhere, I always say, well, can I speak last? And some people say, why do you always want to speak last? I don't know about you, but I've always liked to have the last word. And so that's why I speak last. I remember years ago I was doing a funeral, and I didn't know the other pastor that I was doing the funeral with. And he said, would you like to go first or last? And I said, oh, I'm going to go last, if you don't mind. And he says, okay, sure. And he got up there, gave his little sermonette, and then I got up behind him and gave my message. And in his message, he had said some things that were theologically wrong. And so here I have this dilemma. I'm following this guy who has said some things that are not biblically correct. And so I didn't want to embarrass the guy, but I didn't want to leave that truth just out there. And so I skirted kind of around it and gave the message. And at the end of the message, he says, man, now I know why you went last. You had to correct some of the things that I said were wrong. You know, when you think about speaking later and greater, if you will hold your tongue, you will have the opportunity to get the last word in. So don't push for that last word. Speak later so that you can speak greater. The problem is, James 1:19, that everybody should take note of this. Everybody should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Many years ago, Mercy Me did a song called Word of God Speak. And here are the lyrics for that powerful song. I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Let the word of God speak to you before you speak to anybody else. That's why I say speak later. Speak after you have heard from God. Don't speak to yourself. Let God's word speak through you. Let God's word give you what you should say. And as we look at speaking later, we want to spell out that word later today. Letter L would stand for speak less, but speak more effectively. Proverbs 19:10 says, when words are many, that's when we talk a lot, transgressions is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. In other words, if you can hold back, you are more effective. Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed diligent. Now, there's some tendencies that we have that impact us and cause us not to speak less. Here are the three tendencies that cause us to speak too much. Number one is we have that tendency to over-explain. Instead of using a few sentences, we take a few paragraphs to explain our point, and people turn us off. So don't over-explain things. Don't use two paragraphs when two sentences will work. Number two is we have a tendency of being unprepared. As I work with guys at Indian Creek Correctional Center, a lot of them says, well, I'd like to give a message. And I discovered it's easier for them to prepare a 45-minute message than it is a 15-minute message. You see, when you prepare a 45-minute message, you have more time to play with. But when you have a 15-minute message that you're preparing, your time is really constrained. So you have to cut out a whole lot, and you got to figure out what is the most important thing to say. Under-preparing for a message would cause you to speak too much. And we find this is true with everything. With this coronavirus, I've been doing some home projects. And I'm not the most prepared when I do these home projects. And so as a result, I go back and forth to Home Depot, back and forth to Home Depot. And I was kidding around my wife the other day. So I'm going back to Home Depot again. It's like the fourth time in one day. Why? Because I really wasn't prepared. I didn't think out the project. I just jumped on into it. Well, here's the third tendency that we have, is we have this tendency to completely miss the point. We'll offer up irrelevant information. We'll put one and one together and we'll get three. So these are things that will affect us. And if we can speak less, we'll be more effective. Number two is letter A, as we spell out later, is speak appropriately. Proverbs 15:3 says, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, oh, how good it is. Don't you love how that is expressed? A word in season, oh, how good it is. That's an appropriate word at the right time, at the right place. Proverbs 15:23 says, a man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Now, we're not even sure exactly what that means, but it sure sounds good, doesn't it? Proverbs 16:1 says, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. You see, I'm convinced of certain things. I think that we speak up, and as we speak up, we must speak things that are appropriate and relative to that occasion. Proverbs 31:9 says, open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. One thing that has helped me to speak appropriately is to use the acrostic THINK, T-H-I-N-K. For the letter T, we think, well, is what I'm about to say, is it true? I'm not going to speak it if it's not true. Letter H, is it helpful? Is what I'm about to say, is it really helping somebody? Or am I just throwing out vocabulary? Am I just throwing out words? Letter I, is this inspiring? Is this going to lift somebody up, or is this going to drag somebody down? Letter N, is this necessary? That's a tough one, isn't it? People who love to talk, and I put myself in that category. A lot of times I say things, and it's not really necessary. I'm just in the habit of talking. So not everything that I say is necessary, and if it's not necessary, maybe I should refrain from saying it. And then letter K is what I'm about to say. Is it kind? We are told to be kind to one another, tender-hearted toward one another, building each other up. Well, let's look at the next letter as we spell out later. L-A-T is the word speak truthfully as we open up our mouths. 1 Peter 3:10 says, whoever desires to live a long life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Proverbs 12:19 follows up by saying, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. You see, when I speak the truth, my message rings on forever. Proverbs 24:26 says, whoever gives an honest answer, and don't you love this? Whoever gives an honest answer is like getting a kiss on the lips, right? I think about your wife. Instead of getting a peck on the cheek, she's going to kiss you right on the lips. That's what truthful speech does. It brings joy to people. Telling the truth must be right, and it's beneficial. Telling the truth is a kind act that you do to others. To be untruthful really is to be unloving. Telling the truth is actually an act of love. Even if you're going to say something hard, as we speak that hard truth in love, it makes what we say truly true and truly loving. There's a combination of truth and love as we speak. And then number four, as we spell out the word later, letter E, we are to speak words that are encouraging words. Ephesians 4:29. My kids have memorized this verse, and as they were growing up, every once in a while they say things that were not edifying. They would say sometimes words that were not proper. Sometimes it would be foul language, and I says, I want you to memorize Ephesians 4:29. Do not use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words may be an encouragement to those who hear them. Now, did you get what Paul is saying here? As I speak, my words should be encouraging to those who hear me. Not encouraging to me. Sometimes I think people get a charge out of what they say. I'm going to tell you like it is, right? I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Well, you know, I learned a long time ago, I better not give anybody a piece of my mind because I need all the mind that I can possibly get. I'm not giving it away to anybody, right? And so when we speak to other people, we should be encouraging them. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up. Our words have the power to build people up if we use words that are encouraging words. Many years ago, there was a boyfriend and a girlfriend, and they split up, and it was not a good situation, and this man had trouble with his mouth. And so he went to the court, and the girlfriend had a restraining order put upon him and wanted nothing to do with this individual because he had a temper, and he'd always fly off the handle with the words that he spoke. Well, this man was 30 years old, and as he was given this restraining order, he decided that he would violate it. In a period of 3 hours, from 8:30 to 11:30 one night, he had texted or called his ex-girlfriend and left nasty messages either on her voicemail or through a text message, and it was 144 nasty messages of profanity and derogatory language used against his ex-girlfriend. Well, the girlfriend called the police, and the police put the man under arrest. He went to court, and the judge listened to the case and listened to the messages, and he ordered that this man would have to pay restitution for those 144 words that he used that were derogatory. And he said to him, I want you to come up with 144 nice things that you're going to text and message to your ex-girlfriend. That was his punishment. You know, for every nasty thing that you should say about her, now he had to say something good about her. You know, when you think about that, if I talk to God the way I talk to other people, would God want to hear and answer my prayers? If God could listen to my speech as I speak to other people, would he want to listen to me? You know, see, there's a balance between knowing when to speak and when to be silent. Sometimes the best thing we do is just be quiet, be still, and know that he is God. Solomon, the wisest guy that ever lived, said this in Ecclesiastes 3:7. You know, there's a time to tear something down. There's a time to mend something. There's a time to speak, and there's a time to be silent. There's a time for everything. 1 Peter 3:15 says that we're to honor Christ as the Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks us of the hope that lies within us. And then Peter drives on the point, this is how we do it. We respond with gentleness and respect with a good conscience so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. We learn in Ephesians 5:11 that we're to take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. What we're going through speaking later, and the letter R in speaking later is that I should speak righteously. Psalm 7:11, we read this, God is a righteous judge. You know that word righteous in the Hebrew generally means just, lawful, and he is correct. The word righteous in the New Testament comes from the Greek word that means observing divine laws or upright, faultless, innocent, guiltless. In Proverbs 10:11, we learned that the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Proverbs 10:21 says, the lips of the righteous man feed others, but fools die for lack of understanding. We ought to speak righteously as we speak. And here's four clues that I think will help you to speak righteously or to have a righteous tongue. I will speak words that are tasteful. Psalm 119 says, "How sweet are your words to my taste. They are sweeter than honey to my mouth." Are the words you're speaking today, are they bringing good taste to the ears of those who hear it? Proverbs 10:11, "The mouth of the righteous is that fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." Not only should we speak tastefully, but we should also speak timely. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, and the heart of the wicked is worth little. When you think about speaking timely, the Bible tells us that the lips of the righteous bring forth what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverted. The tongue of a righteous person is also the tongue that is a truthful tongue. The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. Paul tells us in Galatians 4:16, "So I have become your enemy because I tell you the truth." He was going to lay out some things that the Galatian church that they didn't really want to hear. And Paul says, "I'm going to tell you like it is. I'm going to tell you the truth, and I'm going to do it lovingly." But he says, "Am I going to become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Have you ever lost a friend because you told them the truth? I mean, you did it graciously. You did it lovingly. You were prayed up before you went to them, and they just didn't receive it very well. Well, that's how Paul felt dealing with the Galatians. In Ephesians 4:25, he says, "Strip off falsehood. Let each of us speak the truth to his neighbor, for we belong one to another." If we're going to have a tongue that is righteous, it's going to be speaking tastefully, it's going to be speaking timely, it's going to be speaking truth, and it's also going to be speaking thoughtfully. Proverbs 15:28 says, "The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things." In other words, we wait before we respond. We ponder how we should answer. We pray how we should answer. You know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's what Proverbs 18:21 says. Those who love it, that is giving life, will enjoy its fruits. A generous person will prosper as he uses good words, and whoever refreshes others will himself be refreshed. So here's some powerful teaching that we're learning from Solomon. We're learning that a generous person will always prosper, and one who encourages somebody else by refreshing them will also be encouraged. Now, a double-minded person will be also double-tongued. So here's the big idea. Words are very, very powerful. So speak less, speak honestly, and speak fittingly. And ask God to give you the words to say. You know, because I talk a lot, I also ask God to give me the words that I should not say. Help me not to say too much, but help me to say just exactly what you want. You see, we live in a world that needs words. I remember as a kid, my family would often drive up to Canada. And we have family members that live up in Nova Scotia and up in St. John and Moncton and that area. And it's a long drive from Massachusetts. And it was about a 12-hour drive each way. And there'd be seven of us kids in the car, a mom and dad and grandma and a dog. So we were crammed in the station wagon. You can imagine that that station wagon was very loud. Lots of noises. And so my dad would say, "Hey, let's play a game. Let's see who can be the quietest, the longest." Now, my sister would lose every time. We would be driving 5 minutes playing this game, and she would lose. Even the most introverted among us go crazy eventually when we can't speak. Why is that? Well, Tim Keller says this: "We are built for, and we have a need for words. Words are like food. Words are like air. Words are like water for us. There is a word hunger in us." You see, both God and the enemy use words to communicate their desires to humanity. Words are so powerful because the word of God is so powerful. Satan loves to take words and corrupt them. He takes something powerful like words and he uses them to condemn us. You see, the Bible is not simply words about God. The Bible is God's word. Albert Einstein said this: "The real problem is in the hearts and minds of men. It's not a problem of physics, but of ethics. It is easier to detonate plutonium than it is to denounce the evil spirit of a man." I close with Proverbs 22:11. "He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king as his friend." I'm so glad that you joined us today. I want to pray that God will use your tongue to build others up, to share the gospel, and to be a blessing to your family and those you come in contact with. So Lord, we come before you and we thank you for the word of God, the spoken word that is given to us. We pray that we will use our tongues to encourage others, to build others up, that we'll use these tongues to be a blessing. Lord, help us not to tear down others, but help us to build them up. May we keep the word of God in mind where it tells us that we're to let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouths, but only that which is fitting and uplifting, so that we may bring grace and encouragement to those who hear us. Thank you for being with us today. God bless everyone listening in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.